Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Today we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila chapter 16 The Lord's Attempt to Go to Vrindavan Texts 216 through 221 Onarapi Prabhu Yadi Shantipura Aila Raghunatha Dasa Asi Prabhure Nidila. No. We'll do it together. I'll just read it. No need to do it responsibly. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Shantipur, Raghunath Das came to meet him. Heranya Govardhana Duiso Hadara Sapta Grame Bala Laksham Udara Isvara. Two brothers, named Hiranya and Govardhan, who were residents of Saptagram, had an income of 1,200,000 rupees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Hiranya and Govardhan were inhabitants of Saptagram in the district of Hugali. Actually, they were inhabitants not of Saptagram, but of a nearby village named Krishnapur. They took their birth in a big Kayastha family, and although the family title has not been ascertained, it is known that they came from an aristocratic family. The eldest brother's name was named Hiranya Majumdara, and the younger brother's name was named Govardhan Majumdara. Sri Raghunath Das was the son of Govardhan Majumdara. Their family priest was Balaramacharya, who was a favorite of Haridas Thakur's, and the family's spiritual master was Yadunandana Acharya, a favorite of Vasudev Das. The village of Saptagram is located on the eastern railway from Calcutta to Burdwan, and presently the railway station is called Trishabhiga. In those days, there was a large river there known as the Saraswati, and present-day Trishabhiga is a great port. In 1592, the Pathans invaded, and due to a flooding of the Saraswati River in the year 1632, the great port was partially destroyed. It is said that in the 17th and 18th centuries, Portuguese businessmen used to come aboard their ships. In those days, Saptagram was situated on the southern side of Bengal, which was very rich and popular. The merchants, who were the principal residents, were called Saptagram Suvarna Vanik. There were very many rich people there, and Hiranya Majumdara and Govardhan Majumdara belonged to the Kayastha community. They also were very rich, so much so that it's mentioned in this verse that their annual income as landlords amounted to 1,200,000 rupees. In this connection, one may refer to Adi Lila, chapter 11, verse 41, which describes Udaran Dutt, who also belonged to the Saptagram Suvarna Vanik community. Text 218. Maheshvarya Yukta Dunhe Vadanya Brahmanya Sadachari Suktulina Tanami Kavga Kanya. Both Hiranya Majumdara and Govardhan Majumdara were very opulent and magnanimous. They were well behaved and devoted to Brahminical culture. They belonged to an aristocratic family, and among religionists, they were predominant. Nadiya Vasi Brahmanera Upajiva Praya Artha Bhumi Gramya Diya Karena Sahaya. Practically all the Brahmins residing in Nadia were dependent on the charity of Hiranya and Govardhan, who gave them money, land, and villages. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although Navadvip was very opulent and populous during Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, practically all the Brahmins depended on the charity of Hiranya and Govardhan. Because the brothers highly respected the Brahmins, they very liberally gave them money. Nilambara Chakravarti Aradhya Dunhara Chakravarti Kari Dunhaya Bratriya Vyavahara. Nilambara Chakravarti, the grandfather of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was much worshipped by the two brothers. But Nilambara Chakravarti used to treat them as his own brothers. Misra Purandhara Purve Karyachena Sevane Aiteva Prabhu Bhale Jane Dui Jane. Formerly, these two brothers rendered much service to Misra Purandhara, the father of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the grandfather spoke. Oh, to Misra Purandhara, that's his father. Because of this, the Lord knew them very well. Om Agyane Timirandasya Gyanandana Sarakaya Chakshurun Militam Gena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So this is the continuing narration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's first attempt to go to Vrindavan. His idea, his plan, was to travel through Bengal to see his mother, bathe in the Ganges, see the devotees, the people that he had grown up with and his devotees there, and then travel west toward Vrindavan. But he never made it, that trip. He turned around and went back to Jagannath Puri. But this particular part of the narration has kind of an inconspicuous verse, which is like one of those little threads that when you pull it, starts to connect to a whole bunch of different things. And that's the first verse we read, number 216. Ponarhapi Prabhu Yadi Shantipura Aila Raghunatha Dasa Ashi Prabhura Melila. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Shantipur, Raghunath Das came to meet him. This is kind of an introduction to Raghunath Das Goswami. Everybody here pretty much knows the history of Raghunath Das Goswami. But what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is doing at this particular part of the book is he's introducing Raghunath Das. And then he's going to create like a framework, an understanding of where, who and what Raghunath Das Goswami is. And by understanding that more clearly, then we can understand in his later life, when he renounced it all, what he really gave up. What's that verse? If you have nothing, you have nothing to lose. But Raghunath Das had a lot to lose. Raghunath Das Goswami, as we're reading here, came from an extremely wealthy family. It's also described here, and then we'll read a little bit more about this particular place, Saptagram. Saptagram and Krishnapur are on the banks of the Ganges. And 500 years ago, that was a much larger port than even Calcutta. So let's read about that from this verse that was referenced to Adi Lila chapter 11, verse 411, where it describes Udaran Dutt Thakur and this Suvarna Vanik community. Listen carefully because it's interesting, because Srila Prabhupada talks about his own family Gotra and how they're also connected to this same caste. 41, sorry. Adi Lila, chapter 11, text 41. Mahabhagavata Shrestha Datta Udarana Sarva Bhave Seva Nityanandera Charana. Udaran Dutt Thakur, the 11th amongst the 12 cowherd boys, was an exalted devotee of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He worshipped the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda in all respects. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Gauragona Desh Deepika, verse 129, states that Udanan Datta Kaur was formerly the cowherd boy of Vrindavan, named Subahu. Udanan Datta Kaur, previously known as Sri Udanan Datta, was a resident of Saptagram, which is situated on the banks of the Saraswati River near the Trishbiga railway station in the district of Hugli. At the time of Udanan Datta Kaur, Saptagram was a very big town, encompassing many other places, such as Vasudevpura, Vasavedya, Krishnapur, Nityanandapur, Shivapur, Sankaranagara, and Saptagram. Calcutta was developed under British rule by the influential mercantile community, and especially by the Suvarnavanik community, who came down from Saptagram to establish their businesses and homes all over Calcutta. They were known as the Saptagrami mercantile community of Calcutta, and most of them belonged to the Mulek and Seal families. More than half of Calcutta belonged to this community, as did Srila Udanan Datta Kaur. Our paternal family also came from this district and belong to the same community. The Muleks of Calcutta are divided into two families, namely the Seal family and Day family. All the Muleks of the Day family originally belong to the same family in Gotra. We also formerly belong to this branch of the Day family, whose members, intimately connected with the Mohammedan rulers, receive the title Mulek. I recently came across an interesting history of New York, which kind of can parallel to how the British used or developed Calcutta as a mercantile community. Of course, today, America runs mostly on trucks. There's some trains, but the waterways are a lot less. Mississippi, maybe, pretty big still. But previously, at a time when the roads weren't yet developed, what happened was that the Dutch first started to develop Manhattan and the surrounding area of New York, where, if you know, there's the East River. There, it's a big kind of like waterways. But what happened was that as it started to develop and America started to develop as an industrial or at least agricultural booming industry, as people went west and started to start towns and villages and cities, we know the heartland of America is still where they grow most of the grains. But the problem was how to distribute those grains to the rest of the country. They had tons and tons of grains and no way to get it. Or you can put it in a wagon and like carry it across the Appalachian Mountains. It was very difficult. It wouldn't have made any sense. So what they did was they built the Erie Canal from up near Buffalo all the way down to New York. And this way, the caravans and the different waterways through the St. Lawrence Seaway and everything all sent their goods up to Buffalo, and the Erie Canal brought it down to New York. And then the merchants shipped it all over the world. So in this way, America gradually became an exporter of their natural goods that they were producing. In the same way, the East India Company, you remember in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. So 1492, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in 1486. Right around the same time, the Portuguese, the Spanish, the Dutch, ultimately the English in the 1600s, started to trade and create trade through waterways. And when they came to Calcutta, this was perfect. It was on the Bay of Bengal. The whole Ganges entered into that Bay of Bengal. And there was all kinds of waterways. Prior to that, Saptagram, the village we're talking about, is about halfway between Mayapur and Calcutta. So it was still north. And this is prior to the English, that's where all the mercantile gold merchants and very wealthy people were. Then when the British started buying their goods from all of Bengal, they moved down to Calcutta and start to, for business, to develop their economic development. So this is what's being described. But we should still remember it 500 years ago, at the time of Hiranya and Govardhan, even amongst all the rich people, they were the rich people. So that's how rich and wealthy Raghunath Das Goswami was. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antyakanda, chapter 6, it is said that Udanan Dutt was an extremely elevated and liberal Vaishnava. He was born with the right to worship Nityananda Prabhu. It is also stated that Nityananda Prabhu, after staying for some time in Kadadaha, came to Saptagram and stayed at the house of Udanan Dutt. The Savarnavanic community to which Udanan Dutt belonged was actually a Vaishnava community. Its members were bankers of gold, bankers and gold merchants. Suvarna means gold, and Vanik means merchant. Long ago, there was a misunderstanding between Balal Sen, who was a king, and the Suvarna Vanik community because of the great banker Gauri Sen. Balal Sen was taking loans from Gauri Sen and spending money extravagantly, and therefore Gauri Sen stopped supplying money. Balal Sen took revenge by instigating a social conspiracy to make the Suvarna Vaniks outcasts. And since then, they have been ostracized from the higher castes, namely the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. Brings to mind the pastime of Subhuti Roy. Subhuti Roy was a rich merchant. And when Hussein Shah, the Bengal ruler, was a young boy, he was a servant of Subhuti Roy. And one time Subhuti Roy became very upset with him and whipped him. Then this boy, who was the servant of Subhuti Roy, grew up to become the ruler. And when he was married, his wife saw the scar on his back of being whipped. And she said, "What happened? Who did this to you?" And he was very favorable to Subhuti Roy. He said, "No, I was in the wrong. I was a young boy, I was a nonsense, and Subhuti Roy whipped me." And she said, "No, he should be killed." So his wife was telling him to kill him, but he had favorable feelings towards Subhuti Roy, and he was in a pickle. He was in a confused condition. So what he did was, at that time, the Mohammedans were considered outcasts by the Brahmins and Vaishyas and Kshatriyas in the Hindu community. And if they simply sprinkled water on you from their water pot, a Muslim poured water from his pot onto a Hindu, the Hindu was ostracized. So it's how easy people's sentiments towards one another were influenced. And apparently here, Balal Sen, because of his disagreement with Gauri Sen, the banker, created the Suvarna Vanik community as outcasts. But by the grace of Srila Nityananda Prabhu, the Suvarna Vanik community was again elevated. It is said that in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Yateka Vanik Kula Udarana Hoite Pavitra Hoile Dvidvida Nahika Ihate. There is no doubt at all that the community members of the Suvarna Vanik society were again purified by Sri Nityananda Prabhu. In Saptagram, there is still a temple with a six-armed deity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that was personally worshipped by Srila Udanan Dutt Thakur. Does anyone know the famous festival which takes place in Saptagram? No? Durga Puja. Certainly that takes place all over at Bengal, but no, even we know about it. And we follow this festival. We take part in this big festival. In Saptagram. Yes, Panihati Festival. Panihati, Saptagram, this is the same area. On the right side of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so they're all merchants, they're all gold merchants in a big wealthy community, but they're also Vaishnavas and worshippers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. On the right side of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a deity of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and on the left side, Gadadhar Pandit. There are also Radha Govinda Murti and Shalagram Shila. And below the throne is a picture of Sri Uddhava Nath Thakur. In front of the temple, there is now a big hall. And in front of the hall is a Madhavi Lata plant. This temple is in a very shady, cool, and nicely situated location. When we returned from America in 1967, the executive committee members of this temple invited us to visit it. And thus we had the opportunity to visit this temple with some of our American students. Formerly, in our childhood, we visited this temple with our parents because all the members of the Zavarna Vanik community enthusiastically take interest in this temple of Uddhava Nath Thakur. In the Bengali year 1283, one Babaji of the name Nittai Das arranged for a donation of 12 bigas of land for this temple. I think it says there that it's 4 acres. The management of the temple later deteriorated, but then in 1306, through the cooperation of the famous Balaram Mulak of Hugli, who was a sub-judge, and many rich Suvarna Vanik community members, the management of the temple improved greatly. Not more than 50 years ago, one of the family members of Uddhava Nath Thakur named Jagamohan Dutt established a wooden deity of Uddhava Nath Thakur in the temple. But that deity is no longer there at present. A picture of Uddhava Nath Thakur is worshipped. It is understood, however, that the wooden deity of Uddhava Nath Thakur was taken away by Sri Madan Mohan Dutt and is now being worshipped with a Shalagram Shila by Srinath Dutt. Uddhava Nath Thakur was the manager of the estate of a big zamindar in Naihati, about 1.5 miles north of Katwa. The relics of this royal family are still visible near the Dine Hatta station. Since Uddhava Nath Thakur was the manager of the estate, it is also known as Udharanpur. Uddhava Nath Thakur installed Nittai Gaur deities that were later brought to the house of the zamindar, which was known as the Vanayori Habdad. Srila Uddhava Nath Thakur remained a householder throughout his life. His father's name was Srikar Dutt, his mother's name was Bhadravati, and his son's name was Srinivas Dutt. So what we're trying to do is embellishing on this personality of Raghunath Das Goswami. He's one of the major personalities or characters in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Without Raghunath Das Goswami's contribution, we wouldn't have Chaitanya Charitamrita. What will happen gradually, everybody knows the story, how he leaves home, and he went and spent, 12 years with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And in 1533, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, Swarup Damodar left this world, Gadadhar Pandit left this world, Raghunath Das Goswami's plan was to go to Govardhan Hill in Vrindavan and commit suicide and leave his body. So when he came to Vrindavan, Rupa, Sanatan, Gopal Bhatta, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the devotees there were very enthusiastic to hear about what happened. During his life with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, and Raghunath Das was at Radhakund and would narrate daily the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote all those things down. Ultimately, that's the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's one nice prayer. Everybody knows the Sad Goswami Astakam by Srinivas Acharya, the disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And this particular verse explains a little bit about what they had and what they gave up. And then there's a short lecture clip by Srila Prabhupada on this verse. Let's sing it together. Taktva to namase shamandala pati shenim sadatu chagat Utvadina Ganesha ko karunayo kopina kantasito Gopi bhavara samrita dilahari kalola magno moho Vande rupa sanatano raguyago si jiva gopalako. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant. In order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, they accepted loincloths, treating themselves as mendicants, but they are always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna, and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. So Srila Prabhupada explains a little bit about this tucha vat in this lecture.
Tattva Purnamasesa Mandalapati Saning Sada Tucha Buddhya Dina Ganesha Ko Karunaya Ko Pina Kanthasito Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they are ministers. Ministers, not ordinary men. And therefore their association was most aristocratic. Mandalapati Sani. Mandalapati means big man who have got many followers, leaders in the society. So he gave up that association to Chivana. Everybody is this nonsense. Give up proposition. Tattva purnamasesa mandalapati sani sada tuccha. Tuccha means very insignificant. What is it? Then what did he do? What he began? Bhutya dina ganesha ko karunaya ko vina kanthasito. You have seen Rupa Goswami's teacher. Only a little cloth. Kantha. Kantha means handmade quilt. All the rejected cloth, they are put together and sealed. It is called kantha. They utilize in rejected cloth. That is called kantha. So these Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami accepted this mendicant life, although they are ministers, very rich men. Not only Rupa Goswami, all the Goswamis. Raghunath Das Goswami was the only son of his father and uncle. And in those days, the income was 12 lakhs, 1200 thousands of rupees. Almost king. So, for being compassionate with these poor fellows who are forgotten Krishna and working simply, unnecessarily so hard to get some bread, that's all. Murha. So, by becoming kind upon them, they took this mendicant order. They were kindness.
Any questions, comments, discussion? Sesha Prabhu?
You mentioned about the poor and suffering Brahmins, how it's developed. You know, and then if you're a small and guarded community, the gold merchants, so they traded what agricultural products for gold, and they didn't get gold from Bengal.
So I'm not sure. I know that Prabhupada talks about how precious metals and jewels were previously the standard of wealth, whereas today it's bitcoins, cyber currency, which really doesn't even exist. There's nothing tangible at all. Zero. It's just accepted as a means of... Oh, here we go. Historian.
It's just gold. It's just a metal.
It's a very... It's the same as Bitcoin. It's accepted as a standard of exchange. But gold apparently is supposed to be, you would know more about gold, and it's malleable. And why don't you tell us something about why it's valuable?
Why gold is valuable?
Yeah. Why is it? Why is it?
It's not metal.
It's the metal.
Gold, you can take 1 ounce gold and you can spread 1 square mile. No metal can do that.
By making wire and thread out of it.
Right, so therefore...
Not only that. No, Prabhu, just hold on. You cannot show me one metal that you can live for a million years and it will not turn into anything else. Only gold will sustain like that.
We're talking about a means of exchange, of currency. So therefore, it actually had some valuable, rather than paper. Or actually, like Bitcoin, it has no value, other than the acceptance of a value by people, right?
So gold is more, I'm just being accurate.
Yes.
Gold is more valuable than Bitcoin because you can spread it out over a
long. Yes, you can exchange it. You can actually use it.
Tell me why. You don't know why.
That's amazing.
See, if you want to decorate a beautiful palace, with the metal, attractive metal, you cannot find any metal that will stay shining. If you put copper, it will tarnish. If you put any other metal, it will not turn into shiny. Only gold remain. And right. You can literally make as thin, like 1 square mile from 1 ounce.
All right, so
many things. I can tell you for 2, 3 hours, 6 hours about the value of gold. But that's not my... No.
So society at that time valued the metal and its use, and people kept it and exchanged with it. And thus, the Suvarnavanic community, in their roles as vaishyas in the Varnashram institution, regulated that commodity in such a way that society ran smoothly. And in that port, there was obviously, as being described, a large community of them. And when the British started to develop Calcutta, they moved there. Half of Calcutta was Suvarnavanics, from what he's saying. So their influence in society, their ability, the Vaishya community is considered the stomach. It's the nourishment. Everything comes from the Vaishya community out into the rest of the body, the same way as food goes into the stomach and is fed to the rest of the body to create energy and activity. So all of society depends on one another, and the Suvarnavanic community at that time was that element of that particular area where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled through. Ultimately, as we're hearing, the value of anything in this material world can be reduced to pittance and become no more than the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. But because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled there, because he spent time there, because Udharanandata Thakur was previously cowherd boy, because Raghunath Das Goswami in Krishna Leela is a Manjari, and they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and performed pastimes in this material realm while they were there, it has value for our eternal benefit. So hearing, chanting, associating with these elements spiritualizes the entire atmosphere. This is the concept of Krishna consciousness. Krishna himself is everything, but yet he's not everything. But when he comes here, to earth, to this material world, and performs pastimes, then all these things transform. This was Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his associates in the form of his bhaktas performing all these leelas, and gradually hearing them helps us also understand, especially people from Raghunath Das Goswami's, everybody has this desire for fame, for money. Look at, even in a spiritual society, if there's a person who has money and fame and followers, then neophyte devotees
are attracted to that. We see it firsthand in our lives. So this element of what's so attractive in Raghunath Das Goswami's Leela of life is that although he was so wealthy and had what everyone wants, a beautiful wife, millions and trillions of dollars, he had not a worry or care for material things in this world. But he was so enthusiastic to serve and be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Tuchabai. What is this? Insignificant. And then to go from the point of being a minister, and I think Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami, one of them was like the treasurer, the accountant of whose 10,000 coins. Sanatana Goswami gave it to the jailer. Rupa Goswami had a boat full of gold. And go from that to putting on a kopan? Who can imagine that? It's astounding that they would simply a sewn cloth of rejected cloth from other people. Prabhupada was explaining kanta, what it means. It means rejected cloth by other people. This is what they wore as their clothing after being in such a big position. So they're showing by their example how we should treat these things in the material world. You're right, Steve Didi. It's insignificant on one level. And on the other hand, we see that the value of it was useful in its practical application in society. So,
is there something? I was going to say, there is actually, literally, if I want to start this, even from health point, Ayurvedic
system, why the idea of silver spoon, gold spoon, you know, you are born with gold spoon, where did this idea come from? If you trace it, I remember Mr. Richard Haas and Paloma Picasso, they were the designer for Tiffany Company. And I went one time for training. And Richard Haas was saying that when you take, it's proven, even in that level, that when you take 1 milligram gold every day, it increases your immune system such a strong, that unbelievable. But if you take 1 milligram of iron, it damages your liver by end of the year.
Good
metal
point.
In a metallurgy analytical study, if you look at it, gold is unparalleled. There is no question. No metal is as good as this.
Thank you.
As good as gold. Okay.
We'll get to the microphone.
All of this discussion about gold, Raghunath Das Goswami gave it up like stool. This is what's attractive. This is the real attractive thing of devotional service. And this is what Prabhupada taught us all in the very beginning. Renunciation, the opulence of renunciation. When I hear about Raghunath Goswami, it just sparks something glorious. That's what I want. That means that these things, even gold, even the most valuable things in this world, are not useful compared to devotional service to Krishna, to Lord Chaitanya. This is what we want. And one more thing, because Yukta Vairagya, that's wonderful. We're used to Hare Krishna. Vairagya is very important, and we use everything for Krishna's service, but sometimes we get, as neophyte devotees, we get carried away and get a little contaminated by the things that we're touching to use for Krishna. But when we hear about the Goswamis and how they gave up everything, for what? They didn't care about their clothes, they didn't care about their family life, they didn't care about wealth and all the things that we hold so valuable, even within the devotee society, because Krishna's kind, because there's Yukta Vairagya, because we can do everything in his service. But this is the real juice of Krishna consciousness, this renunciation.
What was the goddess you read about recently? Raghunath Das Goswami, the goddess of?
The goddess of renunciation. We read it, didn't we read it in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita?
Is that where you read it?
The goddess of renunciation. It's glorious. Anyway, that's maybe it's because I'm getting old and I can't do anything. But this renunciation is becoming really, really attractive. Hare Krishna. I'm wondering the timing when Raghunath Das was, speaking the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, and Krishna Das Kaviraj was recording it. When did Krishna Das Kaviraj go before the Madan Mohan deity and get asked for the blessing? You know, I'm just wondering. And was Krishna Das assigned by Raghunath to take whatever? Do you know any more about that?
We know that Krishna Das was living in Bengal, actually, had the argument with his brother, left home and went to Vrindavan. I don't know, when did he Govinda Lilamrita prior to Chaitanya Charitamrita, correct?
Yes.
So because he was already known as an author, then when he came to Vrindavan, at that time Radha Govinda Temple was being constructed, and it was a prominent temple at that time in Vrindavan, and all the devotees, because he was a known author, having written Govinda Lilamrita, then they started asking him, why don't you please write this book about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And he went before the Madan Mohan deity, and simultaneously Raghunath Das Goswami came. So just like Maharaj Parikit was cursed, and Srimad Bhagavatam, so many different things happened for Srimad Bhagavatam to be spoken, the battle of Kurukshetra, and Arjuna and Krishna in the beginning, so Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. Similarly, there are a whole bunch of different events which transpired by the will of providence to bring about Chaitanya Charitamrita.
There was the most motivation came from Nityananda.
Nityananda.
Krishna Das.
Oh, yes.
Ah,
good.
In
the dream.
You'll get everything perfected there. Just go to Vrindavan.
Ah. Amanya?
Verify the lineage of Srila Prabhupada, you said, his family tree, you were talking in the beginning of the lecture.
Yeah. He said that the Sarvanavanic community, you hear Srila Prabhupada talk about his youth. During his youth in Calcutta, the Mohammedans, the Muslims, and the Hindus, prior to India's independence and the partition, lived very friendly. And apparently, from what it said here, the Muluks is a title given by the Mohammedans to that particular family that he belonged to, the Days and the Seals. Muluk, apparently, because it said that the surname of Raghunath Das's family wasn't known, yet they're called Hiranya Majumdara and Govardhan Majumdara. So I assume that Majumdara was also a title. There's a lot of titles in society. So Majumdara, Muluk, because how can the Muluks have two family branches, the Seals and the Days? Because it was a title, and both of those families had that title. But it's interesting to see how Prabhupada, even in 1967, wasn't that after he had the heart attack and left America and went back to rejuvenate? Somehow or another, these people in Saptagram at Udharan Datta course contacted him and invited him, yes, you please come with your American disciples and visit this temple. That's so wonderful. And he obviously held it in great esteem because he's writing about it, how the temple is so nice. He even mentioned the creeper, the tree out front of the temple.
As we are speaking, in Bangladesh, this is the truth story. they were analytically researched that last 30 years, how many Hindus became Muslim by force or by accidental or intentionally. ISKCON has done such a great thing, it's unbelievable, his name is Bhakti Prem Swami. He was a big doctor. He's a disciple of Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Now he's a ISKCON Sannyasi.
In Bangladesh?
Yeah, he's also a visit to the land. Yeah. So I was talking to him a lot. That till today, like a lot of beautiful Hindu girls are being tempted by the Muslim young boys to just steal their hearts so that they could make them Muslim. And this is going on. So what's going on, Maharaj? Is it like a big propaganda over there, you know? And in Bangladesh right now, the Hindus means either you join to Hare Krishna or you're going to become Muslim. I mean, there is no other in between. So it's in a good sense that the ISKCON has grown tremendous, tremendous, like unbelievable. How many temples in we had three sannyasi this year, got three sannyasi. I'm sure Shastra Prabhu knows all this. So I was talking to Bhakti Charan Maharaj and Bhakti Prem Maharaj. Huh? Yeah, three from Bangladesh, new sannyasi.
Ah.
And they are really making nice this big. So Maharaj told me, it was very interesting, that some young Muslim boy, because Badri Narayan Maharaj from San Diego,
yeah,
he goes there 2 months a year to preach. And the devotee who was, what's his name? He was here. Oh Lord, your god brother. He lives in Mayapur. He's a full-time preacher there. You know, what's his name? Jivanath. Jivanath Prabhu.
Oh, he's going there now?
No, he lives in Mayapur.
Yeah, I know that.
And him and his wife, they go to Bangladesh every 2 months and live there 1 month. Only college preaching. So many devotees, Western devotees goes there and college preaching. So he told me, this Maharaj told me, that there's so many Muslim boys, even from his college, there's a one also became doctor like him. And he also joined in ISKCON. But they cannot stay in Bangladesh because their parents will kill them, even though they are child. Yeah.
It's interesting too, because if you look at the chapter on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree, and you read the history of all these different great Vaishnavas, so many of them, it'd say he came from such and such a town, which is now in Bangladesh. Because it all used to be, it used to be East India, you know, before the partition. So their whole heritage, coming from way back, is actually Hindu. When we were on Padyatra and we walked through Goa, Goa was a Portuguese territory until 1960s, even after India's independence. Portuguese kept control of Goa. So when we went through Goa, all these different people were coming up to Lokanath Maharaj. And the Portuguese were Christians. And they went there in the early 1500s and, you know, transformed and converted many of the different ancestors of these people who are now living in Goa. So they were coming and saying, how can we again become Hindu? And they told stories of how the Portuguese would come and they would have the Inquisition. Farmer would put his hand onto the chopping block and he would say, are you Christian? He said, no, I'm Hindu. And they'd chop off the baby finger. And he'd say, are you Christian? They'd, no. They'd chop off the ring finger. Are you Christian? Yes. And then if another man came, he put his hand on the chopping block. He'd say, are you Christian? He said, yes. He said, good, you be the mayor. And in this way, they, through the Inquisition, through force, through violence, they converted so many people. So these people now, generations later, they saw the devotees come and they were seeing chanting and seeing the beautiful deities, and they know their heritage ultimately was that way. So it's a huge mix through time.
But you know, good thing is that because ISKCON is so big, giant, so it's a big pride also for them that they're joining in a group that it's a worldwide and well known. They will not be tortured by the Muslim. It's a different world. If you go to Bangladesh right now, every day hundreds of men are joining, ladies, men are joining. And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, such a biggest gift Prabhupada gave was like unbelievable over there. If it was not ISKCON and the Western devotees are like involved, it would be a big tough.
Yes.
Like Bhakti Charan Maharaj, he just came back from there, but when he comes to Dhaka, that even the Muslim mayor, they come to welcome.
Huh.
They come to hear Harikatha. It's like a big revelation changing in Bangladesh because of Prabhupada's mercy. It's unbelievable what Krishna is doing.
Thank you. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, Panibo, did you want to say anything? Okay. Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.